Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we start our series of exit interviews with each of the Heat's rotation players, and we'll begin with Goran Dragic.
We'll review Goran's season and answer some key questions about his future, including if he can be the number one option on a contending team. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David O'Mill, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucanheat.com. To cover the league at large for FanSided, you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DVermill13.
On today's show, we are launching our exit interview series. They will all follow the same general format. We're gonna talk about one player per show, review his season with some pros and cons. Then we're gonna answer some key questions about his future. So let's start with the pros and cons of Goran Dragic's season. David, for pros, I've got that he was an all-star, led the Heat in scoring, and was the most consistent offensive player on the team. And the one I really want to talk about here is that he stepped up as a leader. I mean, this is a guy who had the honor of team captain bestowed upon him. And right. You and I think going into this season in particular, and really last season a little bit too, but we talked a lot about, okay, what does it mean for Dragic to take a leadership role on this team? Wade's not there. Bosh isn't there. Haslam's taking a backseat as like a non-rotation piece. This is really Goran Dragic's team, and he was a captain this last season. I thought he did a really, really good job in that role. I think the players on the team rallied around him, followed his sort of lead by example type of behavior, and I don't think we could have said this time last year that he was an instrumental leader in that locker room, and I think right now we can say that.
Well, I'm not sure if you'd want to say that he wasn't an instrumental leader last year. When I had the chance to talk with him last March, this is in 2017, you could start to see the seeds of that leadership being planted. Like, he had been definitely a much more vocal presence. And one of the things that he had explained to me is that he'd never really had to have that role, because when he was in Phoenix, there were guys like Grant Hill and Steve Nash, who clearly were more established veterans that had accomplished much more on the stage in the NBA. And so for Goran, he kind of just took a back seat and learned from them and learned from them as far as how to become a leader. But even when he came to Miami, like you pointed out, you know, Chris Bosh was here. Dwayne Wade certainly was a big role. And even last season, to some extent, I think with Deion Waiters' personality, while maybe not necessarily the typical leader, it's certainly the kind of personality that commands a lot of attention. So I think you're probably spot on in the sense that Goran took a bigger role this year. And you know, one of the things that I think we saw from him was talking to players, pointing out to them where they need to be on the floor and off the floor. You know, with guys like Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow taking bigger steps as far as their overall development while still being young players, I think a guy like Goran to help kind of set that pace is instrumental for them. So I did really like his ability to command have more of a commanding presence with his team. And that's not easy for a guy like him. You know, he talked about, you know, the language being a barrier for him. You know, one, he had to understand how to communicate with his teammates. It's easy to be, as you said, kind of a lead by example type, but you also have to be an effective communicator. And that's something that's been slowly developing for him throughout the years. And I think we started to see that really get cemented this past season.
You know, you talk to some of these, you talk to some all-star players around the league, some of these guys who year in and year out typically lead their teams in scoring and other various statistics, and you get some pushback from these guys, you know, because you know, from media people who ask them about their leadership roles and stuff like that. You will occasionally get pushback, meaning like, you know, it isn't the guy who leads the team isn't necessarily the guy who leads the
Paul
guy
George.
Who leads the team in scoring isn't necessarily the guy who leads the team. Yeah, Paul George is a great example. You know, out here, you know, talking with Kevin Durant, he frequently says that just because me or Steph might lead the team in points doesn't mean that we're the, you know, this is a leader, like we're a group leader. You know, we lead right. as a group. You know, you have a guy like Draymond Green who doesn't lead the team in points, but he's, you know, the heart and soul. They always talk about him is in that way. But there, I also think that when you have a relatively inexperienced team like the Heat are. They're not young by any means, but they are relatively inexperienced. And you have a guy like Goran Dragic who leads the team in scoring. I do think there is a nature of, like, the nature of things is just to look at Dragic as a leader, right? And regardless of the pushback you might get when actually talking to these players, I do think it's just natural for them to look at Dragic as one of those guys in the locker room. And, you know, we're going to talk about Dragic's future later on, but, you know, I don't know that this time last year, if we were to discuss trading Goran Dragic as a possibility, we would have even mentioned the Heat missing his leadership, right? I think back, even last year, I think you could have viewed, yes, was he a leader? Yeah. But I do think that level of leadership was easily replaceable. Maybe yeah. even with a guy like Deion, like you mentioned. But
yeah.
now I don't think it's as easily replaceable. Like, if you trade Dragic, you do lose some of that hashtag culture. And I think that he has come to represent that as well as anybody has in that locker room.
I think that's a pretty fair point. I think one of the things that we've certainly seen from him is that he is absolutely in Coach Spoelstra's corner. Like, I don't know that there might be a player other than UD who might follow Spoelstra more religiously than Goran does. Like, he appreciates so much of what Spoelstra does and how he works with him and how he teaches him. And I think that's something that's crucial in the locker room, is to have the support of your players. And I think for Spoelstra, that's a big deal, obviously. Like, I'm not to say that there's rampant problems in that locker room, but, you know, when you look at the Hassan Whiteside end of the spectrum, it might be a little bit more challenging for Spoelstra to have guys like James Johnson, to have guys like Deion and Goran, I think, in his corner really helps implement whatever vision you're trying to implement and to have that kind of impact throughout the locker room, to have a clear voice. And I think that's been a big part for him. You know, I'm trying to think who would replace Goran if he was traded to in that role. And I don't know that there's anybody capable of doing it. Like, yeah, James Johnson.
Yeah, that's the answer, right? Like,
that seems likely. He does seem like the emotional barometer for the team, maybe along the same Draymond way. But considering how temperamental he can be at times, how his play on the court can be a negative factor at times.
He's inconsistent on the court, and I think that's why Dragic is such a good leader, is because he is so consistent. Right. You can kind of count on him on a game-to-game basis. Does he have his stinkers? Yeah, but every player does outside of LeBron James. So, you know, that's fine. But let's talk about the cons here, because I think in general, obviously, it was a strong season for Goran Dragic. He made the All-Star team. But if we're talking about cons, you got to mention that he barely made that All-Star team. And, you know, you can go on Basketball Reference a few years from now, and you're going to see the little star next to his name for this season. And remember, oh, Dragic was an All-Star. Doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. He got in on technicalities, basically. Just sort of, you know, guys got injured. He had to replace a couple of different guys. There's a fair argument to be made that maybe Ben Simmons should have been in there instead of him. But regardless, he made the All-Star team, though he did, you know, barely make it. And like I said before, he disappeared at times on offense. Didn't have the benefit of playing with another creator like Deion Waiters, which I thought hurt him a little bit this season, just because not necessarily because he needed somebody to take the load off of him, so to speak, but because he is such an effective off-the-ball player as well. You know, Josh Richardson didn't really start to blossom until like mid-December, and then even then, he had a few slumps here and there. He didn't have somebody like Deion who could just take the rock and allow him to play off the ball and help space the floor with his three-point shooting and you know, make those smart cuts off the ball and things like that. I thought that hurt him.
Yeah, I think one of the downsides of the scoring by committee approach is that you wind up having to share the ball so much, and without that clearly designated superstar, which Goran never has been and never will be, unfortunately, you know, you're just going to see numbers start to drop across the board, and that certainly was the case for him as well. I mean, he shot less, you know, one less field goal attempt this season as compared to the last. He shot worse, 45% to 47.5% the year before. Shot worse from three-point range on just 37% after, you know, perhaps peaking for his career at 40% the year before. But his points per game average was 17.3, three full points less than it was the year before. Yeah. And as I pointed out before, his free throw problems, only three attempts per game as opposed to 5.2 the year before. I mean, that's, I'm sorry, 4.1. Yeah, sorry. He was shooting.
And it's the result of having to, you know, take on even more of a facilitating role than, you know, he's not able to. I wrote this story on Drew Holiday a couple weeks ago about how he was able to to play off the ball and allow, you know, because the Pelicans acquired Rajon Rondo for this season. And so doing that has allowed Drew to just basically play off the ball and focus more on scoring. And the way he phrased it is he's able to turn on his aggression later in the shot clock, which means he doesn't have to, you know, put a lot of energy early on in the shot clock into just getting his team into its offense. And so I think Dragic did, and those numbers reflect that. Like, you know, he had to just basically lead the offense more and couldn't focus as much on scoring. We'll talk about scoring more after this. We got to talk about if Dragic, despite being the number one scorer on the Heat, if that's something that the Heat can continue to have if they expect to go further into the playoffs. We'll talk about that after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, we'll talk about what Dragic's trade value might be later on, but we've got another question to get to first. Dragic has led the Heat in scoring in each of the last 2 years. The only problem is that Miami either missed the playoffs or couldn't make it out of the first round. So, David, my question to you, can Goran Dragic be your number one option on a contending team, or if not a contending team, a team that can at least get out of the first round?
No, I don't think so. He's not. You look at all the other playoff teams, and I can't think of anybody that's probably worse, quote-unquote worse, number one option. I mean, we love Goran. We love his effort. We love his fire, his will, his consistency as much as we can. And all that being said, he's not the kind of guy that can take over games. Like those, he had one 30-point plus game this year, I think. Am I wrong in that? I can't recall if he had more than one.
I think you're right.
And that kind of, like, I mean, Donovan Mitchell is a rookie and he completely blows that out of the water. You kind of have to have a relentless gunning mentality there. You have to be willing to take shot after shot after shot. That's part of the aggression. Like, you don't want to be terrible at that aspect. You don't want to be shooting 30%, but sometimes you kind of have to fight your way through it. And I think that Goran is just so much more effective and efficient that he just winds up taking a back seat, being a passive scorer, and that's not what this Miami offense needs on time. So it's difficult because there's nobody on this roster who's capable of leading that team and score, with the exception of a guy like Deion, who I think has the mentality and the approach to scoring that might be necessary there, but unfortunately lacks some of that efficiency that Goran displays much more easily. So
I know the combination of two. Yeah, going into the season, you hypothesized that Deion Waiters would lead the Heat in scoring at something like 20 points per game.
I did.
And I think we're finding a theme early on in this podcast right now that Dragic really did benefit from that relationship with Deion Waiters, playing with him in that backcourt. You look at a guy like a Kyle Lowry on Toronto, for example. I kind of compare their situations because you look at Lowry, he's able to be the on-court leader, you know, hit some shots, score when he needs to. But at the end of the day, it's DeMar DeRozan who is creating for himself, creating for others now more this season, and really just sort of taking the mantle on as the number one scoring option. I think that's the sort of player that Dragic needs to play with.
Absolutely.
I really do. I think Dragic could be your point guard on a contending team. I really do. You need that guy who is, you know, on the wing, who can just be your number one scorer. By the way, Dragic had two games where he scored more than 30 points, and then he had three other games where he scored 30. But
I was way off on that, really. Maybe that's my fault, and I should have probably known that. But at the same time, it never felt like he was making that kind of a huge impact. And that's part of the problem then, is that you can never know if you're going to get that kind of a big scoring night. Whereas a dedicated scorer, you assume that they're ready to take on that kind of heavy offensive load. He just isn't that kind of player at this point. So, I mean,
and it's not, it's not as comfortable. Next year, I just want to point out, in those games, I said 5 games, the Heat lost all but one of them.
Wow.
So it's not in his comfort zone. That's not how Miami is most efficient. It's not how they win games. I mean, quite clearly, the only game they won was against the Lakers. March.
I remember that.
So, I don't think that he could be your number one option on the score. I don't think that we're saying anything bad about Goran Dragic in saying that. I think we're just more saying, it's more of a reflection of the construction of the roster, right? Like, Goran Dragic can be your point guard on a contending team, but he can't also be your number one scoring option. The Heat, it's not a secret. They need to go into this summer trying to maybe it's getting Deion Waiters back, but somehow they need to find somebody else who can lead this team in points, because Dragic, who, again, has led the Heat in points per game for the last 2 years, I just don't know if that's sustainable. Maybe it gets you to the playoffs, but just doesn't get you much further than that.
That's assuming that we keep Dragic on this roster next year.
Well, that's a great segue. We'll explore the idea of trading Goran Dragic and what that might look like, and we'll do that after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, we've talked a lot about what Dragic means to the Heat, but what is his value to another team? David, how valuable do you think Dragic is in a trade?
Not very, unfortunately. I think with the exception of what we talked about a couple of podcasts ago, with him being a mature voice in the locker room for a team, say, like Phoenix, I think his secondary value is probably as a third option on a contending team. And you look at teams that are in the playoffs this year, I don't know that he's an upgrade over any of them at the point guard position. Now, he could be a throw-in for, say, a team willing to maybe move a current point guard on their roster, maybe Washington. Yeah. If they're looking to unload John Wall, then that seems like a good fit there. You know, he's a good scorer. He's a solid contributor. He's not going to cause problems in the locker room. And I think he gets the job done on a number of levels, but I just don't know that you want to mortgage your future to acquire a guy like that. You're either adding him to the roster as cheaply as you possibly can in the hope that he's the missing piece to a title contending team. But I mean, can you see him as a value? I think he loses value if he's coming off the bench. So he's going to have to be a starter. But at his age, I don't know if you look at him in that regard. You know, you have to start considering that in the next year or two, a bench role is probably what's best for him, you know, at 33 years old or so. I mean, it's tough to determine or, you know, adjust how another team might see his value, but it can't be all that high. Maybe a second round pick and another wing player of some kind in order to package for Goran Dragic. I mean, I think if you're coming to the nuts and bolts of what a trade package would look like specifically for Goran, regardless of how another team might view him, I think that's probably what it would take to pry him loose.
I think you can get a late first out of him, especially if you're trading him to a playoff team that might be looking Cleveland? To take a step forward. It might be a late first. Cleveland would be a good fit. San Antonio could probably use him.
Is he an upgrade over DeJounte?
I think you want to play. Yeah, I think he is, only because I don't know if he's an upgrade over DeJounte, but I think he's like an upgrade over DeJounte and Dragic is an upgrade over DeJounte Murray and Patty Mills. I think you would still play those two together.
That's fair.
But I think there's. I think I disagree with you a little bit. I do think that Dragic's trade value is high, despite him probably being worse than he was last year. Like, I think that Goran Dragic was a better player 2 seasons ago than he was this last year.
Yeah.
But his trade value is higher now than it was this time last year.
As an expiring contract?
His contract is still a value. I don't think people are going to view him as an expiring contract, but I do think that they're going to view him as somebody that they could re-sign relatively cheaply, like you said, as he gets there in age when his contract comes off. And because he made an all-star team. And I know that, you know, I think the smarter people who look at the NBA and talk about the NBA, like you and I, don't really put as much value into, like, a fringe all-star appearance.
Right.
But it's really easy to sell to fans.
Like, that's what it is. You're placating a kind of naive fan base by saying we've acquired 32-year-old all-star Goran Dragic.
I mean, that's kind of how the Heat got Goran Dragic, right?
Well,
we got all NBA point guard Goran Dragic. It's like, well, he made the third team. Like, let's.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it was.
And he had one good.
Ago.
He had one really good year.
But he hadn't been starting or playing much, and they were stuck on that three-headed monstrosity.
Right. No, I know, but they kind of like. You know, your marketing department and stuff like that. Like,
sure.
It's really easy to sell that to an owner. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, we got an all-star in Goran Dragic. Like, you know, Michael Jordan came out and said, I'm not trading Kemba unless we get an all-star back. And all of a sudden, Goran Dragic made the all-star team. Maybe they could do it. And I know that we were kind of joking, but also, not really. Like, had Goran Dragic not made the all-star team and had the exact, like, no injuries happened, he doesn't make the all-star team, he would have less trade value now than he does now, right? Like, I do think it factors in a little bit. And considering that the Heat have made the playoffs, I think that matters as well. And Dragic had a good, outside of game one, he had a good playoff series.
I have to agree 100%.
So I think that helps him too. It's a good taste in people's mouth. So I think the Heat could trade him for it's. I think they could get like a first round. I don't think that they'd be able to get the same value that they sent out for him, which Absolutely. Is why I think they ultimately don't trade him for something like that. The only way they trade him is something like you said, if they're able to upgrade that point guard position and get a John Wall back in return or whatever. I do think his trade, if they were to want to trade him, I think his value would be pretty high. I think a team like Denver would be happy to have Goran Dragic. I think you could get quite a bit out of Phoenix if they were to ultimately try to pull the trigger on that kind of deal.
Who would they try to acquire from in a Denver trade? Because that seems...
Oh, I think you could... That would be more of a play for next summer, for like the summer 2019, where you can get maybe like a Kenneth Faried expiring contract. And kind of... Yeah, it would be like... It would be expiring deals to make the salary work and then probably just draft picks. Okay. I don't know that you're really getting a rotation piece out of them.
Okay,
but, that's fair.
But you know, I forgot Kenneth Faried wasn't even on the roster at this point, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they have too.
Yeah, he's not getting a lot of burn, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now. I mean, you could do like Faried and Trey Lyles or something like that. Like you could do like You could get like a nice young player like Trey Lyles and Faried, and then like a future first for Goran Dragic. I think that's good, and that allows Jamal Murray to play a little bit off the ball, take some of the scoring point guard responsibilities out of his hands as he's developing. If that's something that they want to do, I think they could.
Doesn't that stagnate Murray's growth? Or
it depends on what they, it really depends on what they think of Murray. Do they view him
or
as
what
a
about Harris,
first guard or something? Well, Harris is there. I mean, but he can come off the bench, and then it also depends on what they do with Will Barton, who's unrestricted or who's a free agent this summer. So. But they got Devin Harris at the trade deadline last year in part because they wanted a veteran point guard to help Jamal Murray's development. And so if they view Dragic as being able to do that better than Devin Harris, which I think he could. Well, yeah, 100% he could. That might be an option for them. I don't know. But just throwing that out there as an idea. San Antonio might be a good option for them if they're trying to, you know, spring their window open a little bit more. I don't know.
I would love to see how that combination is, because, you know, I think that Goran Dragic, LaMarcus Aldridge duo would be what we expected with him pairing alongside Chris Bosh too. So, I mean, that would be a pretty interesting one. I mean, you leave it to Popovich to try and find the best way of utilizing Goran's skill set and turning him into an all-star somehow in the Western Conference.
I'm sure we're going to talk about Dragic trade ideas more this summer, but this has been the first installment of our exit interview series. That's all we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Send us your questions and comments by emailing us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or using the hashtag AskLOHeat, and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.